So I'm going to actually just send this sign-up sheet around for anyone who, or not for anyone, for everybody to write down, say who you are, say that you're here. So I have a spot for your name, and then I have a spot for any comments. Cassie asked a question last week, are we going to split you up, like split up couples? Like if you're here with your husband or wife, are we going to split you up on purpose? And so here's what we want you to do in that comment. So if you are one of the teachers in maybe the nursery during discipleship hour, and so you're going to be in here maybe every other week, just write that down. Or if you're one of the hall monitors, one of the rotation of the hall monitors for discipleship hour, write that down. Just let us know so that we can kind of base our group breakdown with that information. And if you want to be or don't want to be with your spouse or with the person that you came with, either way, or if you don't have an opinion, leave it blank. Leave it blank if you are afraid to have an opinion about whether you want to be with your wife or not. Perhaps we shouldn't say it that way, but I'm going to leave it. So just if you don't, probably the better way to say that is if you actually like don't feel comfortable coming to discipleship hour and not being with your spouse or not being with somebody. Right now, I think we're pretty much, everybody who's here is consistent here. And so hopefully you're relatively comfortable with the people around. But say you start inviting other people to church and you invite them to discipleship hour and they're new, you go, hey, you can come and be in my group. We don't have to make everybody feel some of the discomfort that we're trying to do with this. Not that I'm trying to make you feel uncomfortable, that's the word. But we want to push you a little bit outside of your comfort zone at some level. That's part of what we're doing here with discipleship hour. We got to find a balance. So just write down any of your thoughts and pass this around if you would, please. Thank you. Same plugs as last time. This is what the kids go through. So especially us parents, if you want to know what your kids are learning, we've done this for, I think, about a year now where the adults have this, the adult version of the curriculum. To kind of go through, it's a daily devotion. It's about five days of the week, and then it's designed for group discussion. We're not necessarily using this group discussion, but if you want to meet up with somebody else in the church and have that group discussion, that'd be great too. They're always available out there. I only have two of the copies left, but this is just a resource because we're talking about discipleship these first couple weeks. We're not studying through this, but this is just a good resource. Get your mind kind of turning on what does it mean to be discipling others. As I said last week, main service is sort of our effort to teach the masses, right? Where we're kind of thinking more broadly. It's a sermon style, a lecture style. This is more kind of engaging with the nine, going a little bit deeper with each other. And then the one-on-one stuff, which is largely what this book is talking about, maybe the three. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about because you weren't here last week, you can watch it on our website. That's more what this is about. How do I disciple somebody on a much more personal basis, much more one-on-one type of basis? That's what this book is talking about. So I do encourage you, if you didn't get one last week, if you want one and these run out, just come talk to me. We'll get you a copy of it somehow. Friday night, was there 10 of us? I think there was 10 of us. Participated in the secret church. We've been talking about this the last couple weeks. We studied through Jonah with David Platt and learned about the church in Iran, however you say it. They said it different than I always say it, but anyway, he's probably right and I'm wrong. If you want, it was 6 hours. It was 6 hours and 15 minutes going through it at the pace, the live stream pace. But if you want, we as a church basically participated. And so we got 25 copies of the study guide. And the request is don't have more people than you signed up for, basically just so that they know how many people were there and they can, whatever, use that to support the churches in Iran and Iran and things like that. And so if you wanted to actually go through and study the book of Jonah with David Platt. You can still do that. I'll send you the link to the live stream. You can get the information, you can do the stuff, and you can get the book. So my request, I guess, is if you would like to participate, or if you would like to do it, you can grab one of the books. And when you grab one of the books, just request for me the live stream link. Does that make sense? Okay. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 to the Great Commission, verses 16 through 20, particularly 18 through 20. But one of the things that I'm trying to emphasize this week and then next week, again, next week we're going to split you guys up into groups based on looking around the room. We'll have probably three or four groups. And so next week, if you can, as much as you can, try to come in to here a little bit earlier, and we'll send you to your group, and then that group will be the group that you'll stay in until through May, and then we'll kind of rotate again going into June. But that'll start next week. What I'm trying to do in these first couple weeks is not to give us a new take on discipleship, but to give us an old take on discipleship, to remind us and to put our feet on a solid foundation, a foundation that is familiar to us, okay? A foundation that is not surprising to us. I'm not giving any new information here, okay? And next week when we come back to discipleship at least one more time, we might have two more weeks talking about discipleship. Again, I'm not giving you new information. I'm trying to establish base foundation and be repetitive, okay? So just know that ahead of time. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. No, I didn't have any verses or anything like that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Okay? Like I said, this is something that if you've been in and around church, you've heard this. This is not a new passage. This is a very familiar passage to us. But when we're talking about what we're doing here in this group, is our chief and spoken purpose of this discipleship hour for us as adults, including for our children, is that we want to come together and to tend to the growth of the followers of believers. Okay, so when we look at the Great Commission, there's kind of two parts. First, there's three parts. The first part and the primary part, the most important part, is what Jesus is saying about himself. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And even maybe more importantly, not that that's not important, it certainly is important, what we see at the end, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It's one thing to say all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus if Jesus is off and gone. It's a whole different thing to go all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus and he's with us. Okay? So we do not do this ever on our own, right? We do this in the understanding that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus himself is with us, is tending to us, right? Both those different words. For the purpose of growth, for the purpose of growing as a follower of Christ. Okay? Then point two, or most of the time point one that we would make, is that we are called to go, therefore, and make disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, there are two ways that we can understand this. One, we can understand Jesus is talking pretty specifically about the point of justification. Okay, so go and find people who don't know the story of Jesus, tell them about the story of Jesus, introduce them to the character and the person of Jesus. Then they come into a relationship with Jesus. We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now they begin their walk. We can say that's what Jesus means when he says, go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore and introduce people to Jesus. And that is certainly the case. We are called to go therefore into all nations and to introduce them to Jesus, right? Go and introduce Jesus to the whole world. One of the most profoundly shocking things about this Jonah study, about the secret church, right? Secret church is designed to be is designed to encourage and draw us to reach the lost, right? And David Platt, who is the leader, right? He was the leader of the group, the pastor who led us through the study. One of the things that he said over and over and over again is that there are over 3 billion people in the world who are still unreached, right? And so we are called to go to all of those people. There's 8 billion people in the world. 3 billion of them still have not been introduced to the person and the character of Jesus. And we are called to go to all of those people and to tell them about Jesus. And when we say we're called to go to all of those people and to tell them about Jesus, very simply, that means go and introduce them to Jesus. But that word disciple, we cannot ignore. Jesus says, go and make disciples. Go and make what? Followers. Learners. What was another word that we said last week? We are learning from Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. We are participants with Jesus. We're not just going and introducing them to a character. One of the things that I'm going to talk about in my sermon later today is that we often lose a lot when we say that the only thing that Jesus does, and this is not what we actually say, but the only thing that Jesus does is pay for our sins. Jesus does not only pay for our sins, though that's amazing, right? Though that's incredible. He also frees us to live life in accordance with God's designed, created order, right? We are now new creations who are to live differently, and that different life is in pursuit of God. That's what we mean when we say, go make disciples. Go and teach people that what it means to receive the blood of Jesus is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Okay? And here's the point that I want us to discuss this morning. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So, there's more to discipleship than just teaching. Okay? There's more to discipleship than just teaching. We should be examples, right? One of the most profound challenges in this book, right? In this book about how to disciple, is to be inviting people, but inviting other people within your purview into your life in such a way that it actually becomes a little bit of a burden to have them there, right? To go to somebody who is new in the faith, or to go to somebody who is still drinking spiritual milk and say, hey, I want you to come and not just study the Bible with me. I want you to come and see how I raise my children. I want you to come and see how I tend to a meal, how we share meals together in our home. I want you to come and see how I interact with people who are non-Christians at a soccer game. When I'm out in the public, I want you to see it so that you can see, because that's what the disciples did, right? The disciples lived with Jesus. They were not just taught by Jesus, but they lived with Jesus. They walked with him and talked with him and watched him preach and watched him teach and watched him heal. They saw him in the garden. They saw him in all these experiences and all these situations. That's what we're called to, is to give more than just teaching. But Jesus gives us very clear instruction to instruct his instruction. That was confusing. We are to actually tell each other and to teach each other. And probably the first principle that we need to recognize is that we're all first disciples. We're all first the people who need to learn. Does that make sense? We have not made it. I have not made it. Nobody in this room has made it to where we're going, hey, since I've figured it out, I want to come show you. yes, there probably is a sense where I go, I'm a couple steps in front of you. I've been walking with Jesus for 15 years, and I want you to come alongside me, and I want to show you some of the things that I learned, but there is a reality that I don't know everything, that you don't know everything, and that actually sometimes the relationship is going to be reciprocal. I'm going to learn from that younger believer who maybe still has a passion and desire that I've lost a little bit. Okay? So, teach them to observe all that I command. Now, here's my question. So now we're going to shift to some questions, and this is where you guys are going to have to start participating. I'm going to give you the question that I'm going to answer, that I'm going to ask this whole entire time. It's one simple word. How? How is it that we can say this in general about this whole passage? How is it that we make disciples of all nations? How is it that we make disciples? How is it that we make disciples of all nations? How is it that we teach? How is it that we teach all that Jesus commanded to observe? All how? Questions. That's the question. How? And I promise you, I will follow up that question, your answer, with another how. Okay, so go. You don't know. And that's great, right? That's probably one of the most important things that we have to recognize in this room right now. That's what we're doing. Right? We're coming into this situation with a level of humility and a level of willingness to answer that question that way. I don't know. Peter, Paul, one of the P's. Jesus isn't a P. Peter, Paul, wow. Paul says, how will they know if someone doesn't teach them? How will they know if someone doesn't teach them? We have a sort of a mindset in our culture where we say things, where we give a person a Bible. And I've been really on this kick, and I don't know if it's just a moment in my life or whatever, where we give somebody a Bible, we give them a book to read, or we give them whatever, and we go, clearly, oh, you've read the Bible, so you should know. Nah, that's not true, right? It's not, I mean, every person in this room who has read the Bible, right? I think probably everybody in this room has read at least parts of the Bible. You've read it, and you probably have a different opinion of every other person in the room on at least something within the book. So it's not just a matter of you've read the book, now you have all the information. I said this, Max and I were talking this morning about Jonah. About, like, all of the stuff that David Platt was talking about on Friday, maybe a handful of things were things that I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I've never seen that before. I knew a lot of the stuff that he told. I knew that Nineveh was the capital of Assyria and all these. But just the reality of the communal nature that was happening on Friday night just changed the perspective, right? And so we need to have a humility to go, I don't actually know. And why we're coming into this place is to go, okay, well, let's teach each other how to do this. Let's actually go. Okay, well, we don't know. How? Somebody who maybe would go, I think this might be a way. Let's start with the most simple. What's the simplest way that we can teach others? Speak up. How? Tell them. Tell them through a sermon? Probably. Tell them through a conversation? Anybody work with anybody else? Right? You all have jobs and work with other people. Some of you have great jobs where everybody that you work with is already a believer. That's wonderful. Right? My work environment, all my coworkers are believers. I maybe have to do a little bit better at going out and finding people who don't know Jesus. Perhaps you sit and you have lunch. Hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Nope. All right. Well, I'll pray for you anyway. Yeah, I'd love you to tell me about Jesus. Hey, great. What's something that we could do? Practically, what's something that you could do in a situation like that? So you are with your coworker. You've just asked them if they want to hear about Jesus. What's something that you could do? Tell them how you met him, your story, right? One of the things that we're going to emphasize, particularly here at the beginning, right, is testimony. For many Christians, not Christ Church in particular, but for many Christians, we don't know our testimony. We know of testimony. We hear stories of people who are in the lowest pits of hell, who find Jesus, and it's this great story that's hugely impactful, and we go something like, I'll say just for myself, I grew up in church. I never did drugs. I've never really drank. I don't have addictions that have crippled me. And I hear a story of somebody who comes out of that addiction, and I'm like, oh man, it's so wonderful. And then I say something like, I don't really have a good story like that. Oh, that so diminishes the amazing work that God has done in my life, right? And so we should actually learn how to tell our stories. A secret is that you don't have to be complex. Just tell them. Tell them how you came into a relationship with Jesus. Tell them, hey, I grew up in church. I grew up in church my whole life. You don't have to shock them. That's not how you win people to Jesus. You don't win people to Jesus by shocking them with your amazing story. It is amazing, and at times we need to be shocked. But tell them your story. What else? What other thing, again, just in that one situation where you're sitting down with a coworker over lunch. You listen. What are you listening for? What are we listening to? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We can get, I'm going to get a little bit specific here in trying to be, I'm aware that I'm going a little bit deeper than I want to go this morning, but so our area is not an unchurched area, at least not at this point in our time, right? One of the things that I was a little bit surprised at, and I don't know why I was surprised at this, just because I didn't think it through all the way whenever we started here, was how many people would come to Christ Church and the story was similar. I'm coming here. I grew up in church. I left church, fell away from church, went away from church, and now I'm being drawn back. There are very few people, particularly in our area, that we would say have no experience with church, right? You were either taken to church by your parents or your grandparents. You experienced church in some fashion, and that is a different story, right? I don't want to go into the church because I was hurt by the church. I don't want to go into, and we need to know those things. And by and large, people just want to be heard. Maybe you can't rationalize it. Maybe you can't understand it entirely. Maybe you go, I don't get that at all. How can you say that? That seems unfair, whatever. But just the simple idea of going, hey, I have compassion for this person. I'll sit and listen. It's great. What else? Very true. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right. It's one of the main things that I'm saying this morning in First John. Wow, I don't know why Peter is in my head. In First John, that's what he's saying. Like we can know the light. We can, and for many of us as Christians, what do? This is the light. This is, I'm giving you, you guys get to hear it twice. This is the light that we're in with Jesus. And many of us Christians, we're like, yeah, I'm in the light, and we just have our hand over here. But the rest of us is walking in darkness, right? Absolutely. And again, this is why I say, by and large, and Friday night, there's a little bit of a challenge, right? There's in places where freedom of religion is not practiced, in places like Iran, you know, he told the story of people who would go into buses, city buses, and they would get to their stop and they would have, you know, they'd have their Bibles kind of hidden away and they'd stand up and they'd go, hey, Jesus is your Savior. And they would leave the Bibles and they would run because they'd get arrested, right? And yeah, they pick up a Bible, they read the Bible, Jesus is in here. But the primary method that we go about introducing somebody into a relationship is not through a book. It's through relationships, right? And so, yeah, we can have all the knowledge that we want, but it's about introducing somebody to the person and the character of Jesus.
I think it's also remembering that it's not all on us.
Absolutely.
Like it is very much part of our story that we're sharing, but it's all about God. It's all about Him giving Jesus to us, and it's all about the Holy Spirit moving in that time.
So
there's not a lot of pressure on us as individuals.
Yeah.
It is on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. We can be ready to give an account for why we believe, but it's not our account that saves somebody. Yeah. And perhaps it's a different mindset, right? If I hand a tract out or if I'm handing a Bible out, I'm casting the seed, and I know that there are going to be many that's trash, and most of this is trash. But perhaps I get that one good seed or whatever. Wes? And I think that there's definitely a reality that some of us don't have that excitement because we're maybe at times confused or hurt, or we just don't know. And so we tend to each other, right? And so not only are we, that's why it's a discipling. It's a continuous effort. We didn't just make it. I'm here now. Great. Good for me. Now I'm going to invite you to come here with me. No, it's now I'm on this journey too. And that I have hurts, you have hurts, we're going to talk about those. We're going to get to know each other. We're going to... What else? Mm-hmm. It's coming out of an overflow of our heart rather than a task that I need to do, right? Yeah. I need to tell this person about Jesus. But it's just dumping out of me because I'm filled with God. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm filled with the Word. And I'm just like, well, of course I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I say that, I've said that many times about Augustine's Confessions, right? St. Augustine's, if you've ever had to read that or whatever. Like, so much, it's so saturated with Scripture. And you're just like, man, is he just going to Bible verses and just writing it down and then writing around? No, it's just pouring out of him, right? Because it's just so much. What is his life, you know? What other practical things can we do? Let's go back to our, we're sitting, I'm not trying to say that this conversation going wherever it goes isn't fine, but we're sitting with that coworker at lunch. You said, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? What's another thing that we can do? I keep holding up the Bible, but go ahead. Gently, persistent. Is that what you said? Yeah. Just don't give up. Yeah. Consistent. Yeah. Yeah. And we know that we need it, right? I need that as a follower of Jesus. I mean, if the Lord would have let me wander away, I need to be gently prodded and pulled back just continuously. And We are a lot of times apologetic for the things that we do as Christians, apologetic for reading our Bibles, apologetic for praying in public. I mean, that's an overstatement, but that kind of idea of just being willing to go, yeah, if you ask me a question, great. If you tell me that I'm a weirdo, great, right? We're sitting here.
Something that I learned as a teenager when sharing the gospel, the receptive is saying, yes, you go through that. The Romans road, you show them.
Yeah. And I think that there's times in where I'm where I'm wanting to get somebody to say, Jen, you've kind of hit it, is we can read the Bible with people, right? Like I many Christians go, but I just don't know. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a scholar. I don't know. Good. Like, say that, right? Like, we don't have to have all of the answers. We can have, and I think that there is actually a a genuineness to go, ha, I got no idea. I have no clue what that means or what I'm supposed to do with that. Let me go talk to somebody. Let me go talk to, you know, my pastor. Let me go talk to my parents or whoever it might be, and I'll get back to you. We go, oh, we've got to have all of the answers. Peter tells us to be ready in all seasons and in all times. Well, yeah, that's definitely what he's saying. But he's all what he's saying when he's saying that is to tend to yourself so that as much as you can. But there is times whenever you go, you know what? I'm right here on the road with you. And so go, hey, would you read through the Gospel of Mark with me? Why not? I might not have all the answers, but we can read it together. You can ask the questions. For many people, Rico Tice, what's his last name? Tice. He talks about he's a pastor in England, and he was at Basie's conference a few years ago. And one of the stats that he said we did a big study in the UK, and we were asking people what they thought of Christians. And I'm butchering the study, and there was more to whatever he was like. We asked people what they thought of Christians. Like, do you think Christians are bad people? Whatever, you know, and we ask that question in America. We ask fellow Christians, we go, what do you think the general perception of Christians is? And he was like, we were shocked at the answer, because the general perception that Christians have of how they're being perceived, did you follow that, right? How do people think of me? What do people think of me? We always go, oh, everybody hates Christians. And he was like, actually, the stats show us the polar opposite, that most people, by and large, something like 70, 80% of people, by and large, the Christians that they know, they're like, oh, they're great people. The problem is that we don't talk to people about Christ. It's not that our character is in the way. We go, well, they saw me get mad the other day, and so I probably shouldn't tell them about Jesus. Well, no, actually, tell them the fact that you are still a sinner. 1 John, if you're wondering why we're going through 1 John in tandem with Discipleship Hour, is that it's so applicable to what we're doing, right? 1 John, he's like, if you say you're not a sinner, you're lying, you're making him out to be a liar. And in the end, my interpretation is you're not helping anyone. And that's what we're doing. When we're being open and honest, we're going, I don't have all the answers. I'm not perfect. Hey, you want to come along this journey with me? And that's just, right, that was a great conversation, and we're going to need to wrap up here. It was a great conversation, and we had one example, right, the thing that I kept coming back to. You're sitting with a coworker at lunch. We haven't gotten into any other situations, right? We talked about sharing our testimony, telling people your story, showing them, listening to them, showing them how Jesus has changed you, reading the scriptures with them, praying with them, simply caring, having compassion. We live in a culture that is fleeing from compassion, right? Fleeing from it, running at full tilt. And we as Christians, listen, we as Christians aren't doing much better. In the public space, Christians are perceived as compassionless, where we go, we just want to condemn. But again, we go back to what I was saying about Rico. By and large, most people don't buy into that. Most people know that what we get on the news is actually skewed in every direction. And so our job is to then go, let's dig this. Let's dig this out. Let's work this out, and let's do this. Now, all of that, right, in my last minute, all of that is the public. It's the outward, right? Go and make disciples. That's that one-on-one personal kind of attending. Again, this group, if you missed it last week, Jesus teaches in kind of three methods. I'm calling it the 3-9-M. Sean called it, a mentor of mine called it the 3-9-M, right? Where Jesus taught to the M masses, And that was mostly preaching. It wasn't really give and take. It wasn't conversational. Then he would go back with the disciples, the 12, 3 and 9 makes 12. He'd go back and he would explain it. They would ask him questions. What did that mean? Let me tell you. And then Peter, James, and John, the 3, got even deeper with him, right? The 3, that's what we're doing with that coworker at work. This here is a training ground. That's what we're doing. This is a training. This is we're coming here to work on how do we live life as followers of Jesus? How do we obey the commands that Jesus gave? How do we tend to the unrighteousness that is in our lives, the sin that is in our lives? How do we grow? How do we share our testimony? Many of these things, many of us, we don't know. And so we don't do anything. But this place, this church, not Christ Church, but the church, its purpose is to equip us, all of us, for the work of the ministry. Okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness, your love, your compassion for us, that we who are broken, sinful, separate from you, have been loved so deeply by you that you have come into this world to come down into the muck and the mire, to give up your place on high, to come and to give your blood and your body for us. How this fills us with joy and happiness. But Lord, we also praise you that you didn't just die to pay for sins, but you died to free us to live in accordance with your ways, to be sanctified by your work, by your power, by your strength. And as we begin this new endeavor here at Christ Church, with a goal of growing each other, growing with each other, growing in our walk with you, I pray that you would bless our time, that you would give us boldness, you would give us connections, and you would tend to our growth so that your kingdom would be magnified, would be glorified, would be built by your people. Or not for our glory, not to say what a great church we are, but to simply make you known in this world and in this place. Help us to be willing to share when we don't know. Help us to be willing to share what we do know, and to not do so from pride or arrogance, but to do so out of humility and a desire to tend and to cultivate those people who are with us. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We pray that you continue to be with us the rest of this day for your name and for your glory. And we pray this now in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen.